Paul saw something in them. And Paul said, I'm confident of this thing, this one thing, that God has begun a work in you, that God has begun to shape you and mold you, and that God has a destiny in mind for you, a destination in mind. God sees the finished product. We might not be able to see it yet. I might look at you. I might have issues with you. I might have struggles with you. But you know what? God sees something in you, and God has begun a work in you. And if you just let go and let God, he will complete the work that he's doing.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of The Joy of Affirmation, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Joy of Affirmation, Part 2.
Open in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, the book of Philippians. And we've been in a series entitled, Come Out With Your Hands Up. And we are talking about whenever you are going through something in life, that when you come out of it, God wants you to come out of it with your hands up, rejoicing, praising him. And last week we started looking at the joy of affirmation, the joy of affirmation. So we want to finish that up this morning. And we're looking in Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. And it says here, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints who are in Christ Jesus at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is right for me to think of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and continuation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. For God is my witness how greatly I longed after you in tender mercies of Jesus Christ. The joy of affirmation. We see that in these first eight verses, Paul is affirming the Philippian church and the special relationship that he had with them. Affirmation is the act of giving value to another person. That when you affirm someone, what you are doing is giving value to them. You are letting them know that in God's sight and in the sight of your fellow human beings that you have some worth, that you have some value, that you have some meaning in life. Paul had a deep affection for these individuals, and he starts off this letter by affirming them. And as I said last week, one of the things that we see, especially if we go back and start reading other letters, Paul was addressing issues. Paul was dealing with issues, and sometimes the note and the tone of the letter was not always affirming, but in some cases it was condemning. But in this letter, we see that Paul goes basically through this whole letter affirming the Philippians the whole way. So we want to speak to you this morning on the joy of affirmation. Last week we pointed out that God created man with needs. And we said that God created man with three basic needs. First of all, he created man with spiritual needs, that there is a vacuum in the heart of people that only God can fulfill. And people try to fulfill that vacuum with other things, but only God can fill that. So he created us with the spiritual needs, and that is the need to be hooked up with him. Secondly, he created us all, and this is just common sense right here, he created us all with physical needs, such as water, food, shelter and air, that you need those things to exist, that without any of those that you're not going to live very long, you're not going to exist very long. So he created us with these physical needs. And then this is where our message focuses at right here, is that he has created us with psychological needs, that everybody has a need to love and to be loved.
that you as an individual, God has placed within your heart love. And one of the things that you have to be able to do is express that love. And by the same token, not only do you have a need to express love, but you have a need to be loved. And many people walk through life without feeling loved by others. And when people walk through life without feeling love of others, you know, it causes some serious problems in their character. You know, there was a study that was done with a group of infants, and they found that the infants that were hugged and loved and nurtured, that they actually matured quicker than those infants that weren't, that didn't receive that same attention. That ought to show you something right there. That even a child in its very basic need has a need to be loved, has a need to be shown that you are important, that everybody has that need to say you have worth, that I'm valuing you, that you mean something special. And so that's why we are preaching this message on affirmation, because everybody has that need to feel important. That a lot of times people join organizations is because they want to feel important. They want to feel like they're needed. They want to be somewhere where they can be affirmed. It's like I said last week about that song for the comedy show Cheers. You know, when the theme song was, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. Well, why do you want to go where everybody knows your name? You want to go because they make you feel important. As we continue on, we want to look at some things that we looked at last week. We see that God has, first of all, given us a recognition of worth. And we talked about that in verse 1, a recognition of worth. It says here, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints which are at Philippi. What did he call them? He called them saints. Now, you look at people. We are just human beings. We are just individuals that have feet made of clay. But God thinks so much of you. God gives you so much value, and God gives you so much worth that he calls you saints. You know, you don't have to be a Mother Teresa, or you don't have to be an Apostle Paul. You can be a saint in your own right. The sad thing is that sometimes the saints ain't. And we pray that you would not be an ain't, but you would be a saint. So you can be a Christian and be an ain't. We want you to be a Christian and be a saint. So there is the recognition of worth. And then the second thing we looked at was a requisition for well-being. He said in verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. All that salvation represents, justification, sanctification, glorification, redemption, all that salvation represents, Paul said, I wish it to you. I wish that you have that. And not only that, but we looked at the word peace last week, and we saw that word peace comes from the concept of shalom, and it means completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, and the absence of discord and agitation. Paul said, I wish you all that. Shalom. I give all that to you. Oh, we have if you are wishing somebody that, that's affirmation right there. You are affirming someone when you say grace and peace unto you. That means that I see value in you. God sees value in you. And we wish that you have all that salvation gives you. And we pray that you have all the peace that God can give you. The third thing that we looked at last week was a remembrance of workings in verse 3. A remembrance of workings. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Paul was very active in the church at Philippi. He had led the jailer to the Lord. He had baptized Lydia. He had exorcised the slave girl. He had gone to Macedonia and met with a group of ladies down by the river. Paul had very fond memories of them. And as he thought about the memories he had of them, he said, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. That's affirmation. That's affirmation. If people say, when I remember you, I thank God for you. that when I remember you, I pray for you. That's affirmation. And so that leads us to the fourth point in our message today. And this is what I call reassurance of welfare. Reassurance of welfare. Look what it says here in verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul saw something in them, and Paul said, I'm confident of this thing, this one thing, that God has begun a work in you, that God has begun to shape you and mold you, and that God has a destiny in mind for you, a destination in mind. God sees the finished product. We might not be able to see it yet. I might look at you. I might have issues with you. I might have struggles with you. But you know what? God sees something in you, and God has begun a work in you. And if you just let go and let God, he will complete the work that he's doing. And if I can look at folk, and I can see not what they are, but what they can become through Jesus Christ, I'm giving you affirmation. If I'm looking at you and I'm saying that I'm investing time in you, I'm investing energy in you, man, thank God once again for all the people who work with children here at Bethany and other places making that investment, because sometimes you don't always see the end product. I appreciate Brother Otis's testimony, how just be faithful in doing it, because you can look at him and Aaron and see an end product. But you know, while you're going through that process of molding and shaping, you know, it may be some bumping up and it may be some hard things that you have to do. But God said, being confident of this one thing, he that hath begun a good work in you, that he's going to work it out. There was a young man who had a date with a young lady, and he went to pick up the young lady, and he was all anxious and excited, and so he got there a little bit early, and when he got there, she wasn't quite ready yet. She hadn't put on her makeup. Her hair was a mess. She was wearing some old beat-up clothes, and she just felt embarrassed, and she said, oh, you must not think very much of me, and he said, it looks like it's about something about to become very beautiful. See, what did he do? He saw the good. He could have looked at the hair. He could have looked at the clothes. He could have looked at the fact that she didn't have any makeup on. But what did he say? Oh, it looks like it's about to become something beautiful. And when you look at, you think that when he told her that she didn't feel affirmed, that she didn't feel that she had worth in his sight? And when you tell somebody, look, man, I see something in you. There's something in you. And you just need to be faithful to the hand of God in your life. When others see scribble on a paper and someone tells you, you can become a Rembrandt, that's affirmation. When others hear blowing noise and someone tells you, you can be Louis Armstrong, that's affirmation. When others see a rubber band wrapped around sticks and someone tells you, you could be a George Washington Carver, that's affirmation. When someone sees that you can't hit a baseball and somebody comes up and tells you that you're going to be the next Henry Aaron, that's affirmation. When somebody sees a hardcore broken down sinner and somebody tells you, you can be like Jesus Christ, that's affirmation. You're looking at what that person can become. Man, I tell you what, I'm so glad that people didn't give up on Pastor Glaze. Knucklehead, growing up over in Braddock area, you know, involved in things that were ungodly and I shouldn't have been, but you know what? Somebody kept praying for me. Somebody saw that God was working in my life. Somebody had hope. Somebody held out the hand of mercy. Somebody continued to believe in me. And my brothers and sisters, let me tell you today, don't give up. Paul said this, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you see the good in others? That's affirming. When you see the good in other people, you don't know how affirming that is. These folks might have had their struggles. They might have had their issues. But what did Paul look at? Paul looked at the fact that God was working in their life. How do you see other people? The next point that I have is what I call a reflection of warmth. A reflection of warmth. He says here in verses 7 and 8, he says, even as it is right for me to think of you all, because I have you in my heart, and as much as in both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. Paul said, man, we are sharing this grace together. But look what he says in verse 8. For God is my witness how greatly I longed after you all in tender mercies of Jesus Christ. He said, man, he said, I have warm feelings towards you. And it's, you know, it's one thing to let a person know that they have value. It's another thing to let a person know they have value to you. Man, you mean so much to me. That's what Paul is saying here. Paul says that, man, when I think of you, he said, I long after you with tender mercy, that my heart is warmed and that my heart reaches out and my heart desires you. That's affirming. And you know, once again, as I stand here today, you know, I realize that, you know, there's a lot of areas. And you know, sometimes a preacher just has a hard time preaching a message. And I'll be honest with you, this is a message that I found very difficult to preach. I'm just going to be honest. But you know, when you preach the words, you got to do what God says. So I'm just trying to be obedient to God. Because sometimes you do things that are not realities the way they should be in your life. And I know that, you know, as far as this area of affirming and affirmation, that I've struggled with that. And you know, I feel convicted sometimes when I don't affirm my wife the way that I should affirm her all the time. I feel convicted when I don't feel, when I don't affirm my children. See, that's why, I guess when I said last week, the message this week is going to be rougher than last week, I guess because it's, you know, I'm looking at me and it's going to be rougher on me. And I figure if it's going to be rougher on me, it's going to be rougher on somebody else. But you know, I just look at that and to let people know and to let them know on a regular basis and to let them know from the bottom of your heart, man, you have value in my life, that you mean something to me. You know, we can just get caught up in our lives and we get caught up in the busyness of our lives. And, you know, it's easy to come to the church and write somebody a thank you note or send somebody an email or give somebody a call. But sometimes when the rubber meets the road with people that we have to come in contact with every day, we are a little insensitive and we don't always affirm them like we should. Paul said here, he said, man, you know, my heart, the fires of my heart are for you guys. That I keep my heart, the fires of my heart stoked up so that I appreciate you. And I want to let you know that you have value in my life. When was the last time you told somebody close to you that they have value in your life? When was the last time that you told somebody that out of the warmness and affection of your heart that, man, you mean so much to me that I couldn't make it if you weren't in my life? And that's what Paul says. See, affirmation, it's easy to give affirmation, you know, in a group, or it's easy to give affirmation out there, but are we doing it every day? I think that's where a lot of times husbands and wives lose that fire in their relationship, is because they fail to give the affirmation that they need to give to one another. They fail to let people know around them how much they mean to them. Man, wouldn't you feel absolutely worth nothing if God didn't affirm you? If God made you feel that, hey, you're just there, you're just like a bump on the log, man, that would be the that would be a terrible feeling to think that God would not look down at our lives and say, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter, in who I am well pleased. You think that was an affirmation for Jesus when he heard that? That the Heavenly Father looking down and saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, that was affirmation. And that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to be like him in that area. We read the verse last week. Paul said, outdo one another in giving honor to each other. That we need to outdo each other. And as I was thinking about, you know, why is it that people don't reaffirm others? Why is it that people don't reaffirm others? One reason is insensitivity. You are so caught up in other things that you don't think other people need to be affirmed. You know, those around you, you're so caught up and I hate to say this, you are so self-centered and so self-focused that you're only focused on meeting your needs and taking care of yourself that you don't see that there are other people around you that have value and that have worth and that you wouldn't be where you're at today or you couldn't make it through what you're making it through if these other people weren't in your life. But you are so inwardly focused. I was listening to a tape and there was a guy, football player, Everson Walsh. He used to play for the Dallas Cowboys. And he played under Eddie Robinson, used to be head coach at Grambling, just passed away this year. One of the greatest coaches. Eddie Robinson had probably the most winningest record of any coach in college football. He coached at Grambling. And many of you are aware of the Southern Classic. Grambling, I think, is versus Southern State, and that classic every year. And Grambling was playing in the game, and they were just getting beat. And they went in at halftime. And everybody was arguing with each other, and everybody was fussing. And Eddie Robinson said, just shut up and sit down. Shut up and sit down. And so everybody just sat down. And he left for a little while. And he came back. And when he came back, he put two boxes in the room. He said, I want each of you, one man at a time, to look at the box. Look in each box. And each man went, and they looked in each box. And he said, in the first box is the reason why we're losing like this. The first box will let us know why we're losing. And the second box will let us know what we got to do and who can fix the problem. The first one, who's causing the problem and why we need to do. Second box, who can fix the problem. And each man went in there and looked in both boxes. And when they left, they went out and they played the game and they just played above their heads and they end up winning the game. And somebody asked him, well, what was in the boxes? And I know that's what the question that you have. What's in the box? In the first box, the one that was causing the problem, there was a mirror. You look in there, that's the cause of the problem. In the second box, you look in that, was a mirror. That's the answer to the problem. And see, the problem with us sometimes is that we just look in the first box, and that's the cause of the problem, because we are so focused on self. We are so focused on our self-interest and our own identity that we are insensitive to others around us. But we need to go look in that second box, and we need to see that we are the answer, and that as far as affirmation is concerned, that we don't need to wait for somebody else to do it. You know, that we don't need to delegate that to someone else, but hey, there goes the answer right there. That second box, that's the answer right there. The problem was in the first box, the answer is in the second box. And why is it that people don't affirm one another? Insensitivity. So caught up on self, so much looking at self that we fail to look at those around us. Another reason that people don't reaffirm others is because they take others for granted. You know, well, they're going to be there. You know, I don't have to affirm them. You know, they're always going to be around. You know, we know that they're not going anywhere. And so we take other people for granted. God forbid. And you know, one of the things that I find out, and I'm going to say this, and I guess I'm speaking primarily to me right now, is that, you know, when you don't spend time with the Lord, you're not sensitive to people around you. Because I find that when I'm spending time with God, God lets me know when people around me.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Joy of Affirmation, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Joy of Affirmation, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Joy of Affirmation, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Joy of Affirmation, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.